This is my instant reaction to Lee Whannell's 2020 thriller, The Invisible Man, starring Elizabeth Moss. Right now, as we record this, it's after the first weekend of the debut of The Invisible Man, stateside at least. It currently has a 90% Rotten Tomatoes from critics and an 89% from audiences. Here are my thoughts. We'll do spoiler-free very quickly, and then we'll dip into a little bit of spoilers. Spoiler-free, I think the movie works fundamentally because Elizabeth Moss has probably never given a bad performance in her life. She can play put together and relatively sweet. She can play smart. She can play vulnerable. She can play crazy as hell. She can play traumatized. There's so much expression in her face. In fact, when this movie opens, this is not spoilers, but there's a lot of information that's conveyed, a lot of backstory that's conveyed in a damn near silent 10-minute stretch of the film where it's simply her face. It's simply her reacting to things. It's simply her moving about a house quietly. And it just fills in all the backstory and all the blanks you could possibly want or possibly have. And it sets the movie up perfectly. The other great part about this film is the premise. If you're going to redo The Invisible Man, a story that is at this point probably 100 years old, how do you do it in 2020? How do you find a new way into the story? What's your hook? The hook here is obviously PTSD, right? The hook is trauma and surviving domestic violence and psychological abuse. And if you're a woman who has survived domestic violence and psychological abuse, is anybody going to believe you? And is anybody going to believe you if you say the person who's abusing you or who abused you is still abusing you and they just so happen to be invisible? Or are they going to label you a hysterical woman? And I think that's great. I think that's just, so as soon as you hear the premise, at least as soon as I did, I was like, that's genius. It's just such a great idea for a way of doing this story. Now, I saw the trailers after I heard the premise, after I heard the cast, after I heard the director who did Upgrade a few years ago, which I really liked. I saw the trailers. I thought, this looks like Hollow Man 2.0. This looks like hot garbage. And I was not going to see it. And then the initial reviews started to come in. It was very positive. Some people on Twitter started reacting in the film Twitter community, including Colby Mack, a film reviewer and a writer who's out there in the Twitterverse. Give him a follow. I believe it's at Colby Mack. Attack him in this on Twitter so you can find him. He gave it a glowing review. I think some of our friends over at The Real Spoilers, Kevin Brackett, I think he gave it a good review from what I saw from his Twitter. And I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, if these guys who have decent taste, right, doesn't always align with mine, but it's pretty good taste, if these people are saying it's going to be great, it's going to be great. So I convinced my significant other to go see it. We saw it, and I would say the first half of it works pretty well. And then they decided to add some twists and turns to it that I think don't make a whole lot of sense. And as the third act continues, I can't say what it is without getting into spoilers, but as the third act continues, it does, in classic movie review parlance, fall apart. It just begins to kind of wobble under the weight of its own, I don't know. There was just certain decisions they made where I feel like they wrote themselves into corners. They didn't really need to make those decisions. You just go, why didn't you just do it this way? And why did you even add that in there if that wasn't really going to pay off? And why did you add that in there? Because now you got to do this, and that doesn't really make any sense. And so at the end of the day, I think the movie is good. When it started off pretty great, there are some legitimate scares in the movie. There's some legitimate tension. My heart was racing throughout the film. Is it something that I think you should necessarily rush out and see? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it's a streamer. I think if you stream the movie, you'll be satisfied with it. I think if it shows up on Amazon Prime or Netflix, you'll think it's a really good movie. Is it a movie that you should go find babysitters and pay for parking and buy a $9 thing of popcorn? I don't think so. So that's my non-spoiler review. I would not recommend you see this movie in theaters. I would recommend you see it at some point. That's my non-spoiler review. We'll dip into spoilers right now. Several scenes in the film that just don't really make any sense. There's a dog that's introduced. It does nothing. The dog serves no purpose. There's a point at which she's been so set up and so traumatized and so mentally abused by this Invisible Man character. And I was a little perplexed as to why the trailer just gave away. I thought the movie was going to play it more as, is she just crazy? Is this just the effects of trauma? Or is he actually the Invisible Man and he's haunting her? And the trailer just pretty much shows when she's dumping paint on the guy, she's fighting an Invisible Man, unless that's also in her head. Come to find out, she's just fighting an Invisible Man. It's pretty obvious within the first 10 minutes that this guy is going to make himself invisible. There's an explanation for it. He's a scientist, yada, yada, yada. But she escapes. All that's well and good. There's a relationship with the sister, which is kind of fleshed out, but not really. There's some dynamics there with an email exchange. That part doesn't really make any sense to me, that your sister who has escaped physical, mental, sexual abuse, who's only been out and about for a few weeks, trying to get back to normal life after she's been under this guy's grip for years. You get one weird email from her and you never want to talk to your sister again. That didn't make a lot of sense. The sister's inevitable death. I thought that scene worked really, really well. But then afterwards, we have Tom, the brother who comes to her in the maximum security mental asylum and says, like, you know, you sign this and agree to come back to him and we'll make all this go away. My question is how? Short of giving her an invisibility suit and then just disappearing forever off the face of the earth, an entire restaurant of people saw her slash her own sister's throat, nearly decapitating her at the table, which is a great scene. The scene itself is great. But then you have this character be like, we'll make this all disappear. How? How are you going to make it disappear? She murdered this person in front of everybody. That was like, why did you put that line in there? Some of the stuff with the brother, it just didn't really make any sense. What was the motivation here? Why did it have to happen that way? And you start pulling apart all these threads in the third act. This guy shows up. Here's a question for you. If he's in her holding cell with her, right, and he's invisible, how does he pee? Does he just pee in his invisibility suit, right? Does this guy never burp? Does he never fart? Does he never sneeze? Does he never have a scratchy ass itch? How does he make zero noise, right? Here's another thing, right? She goes back to the house. This guy has total control over every aspect of everything and seemingly in the world, right, including security cam footage. She finds the technology to which he made this suit. First thing that happens is these cameras begin to refract the light. So you look at that and you go, okay, I know a little bit about pretend invisibility technology. And that's usually what it is, right? It's like the Predator. It refracts the light. And so it just, you don't really see it, right? And that's presumably how it would work in real life. Somehow the cameras refracting light and creating a Predator-like image ends up sculpting an entire suit out of eyeball cameras that he wears. Where did the suit come from? How did she make another suit and him not be aware? How did she get into the lab, go back to their old house, get into his lab, figure out his passcode, accidentally recreate another suit, hide the suit in a vent, which he somehow didn't know about in a house he probably designed and know every nook and cranny? This guy has cameras everywhere, basically as a fortress to keep his wife in, but he doesn't know about this vent in their own closet. And then she hides it. Like, why did he think she was there? Right? Like, he would be like, why the hell did she come here? Right? I guess you could say, well, at certain times it was the brother, right, who maybe wasn't thinking that forward. At other times it was Adrian, right? Because my question was, how did he get from point A to point B? Does the Invisible Man have an invisible car? Because she takes off through an Uber, who's, by the way, one of the worst Uber drivers I've ever seen, or Lyft. The guy was like, he did like a 25-point turn at one point. I'm like, just get out of there. How in the world? Like, how is he getting from point A to point B? At the end, that could be explained, well, there's two of them. So presumably there's probably two suits, right? So sometimes it's Adrian, sometimes it's the brother. But how does this guy get himself into a prison and then get himself out at will whenever he wants? That didn't make any sense. How did he not know she had an additional suit? That didn't make any more sense. I was sort of like, what? The whole brother scenario, why, you know, offering her a deal. How are they going to get her out of this? Short of framing somebody, it just, that didn't make any sense. There's about five more of those, which I forget. That's the other part of this movie. Other than a few key scenes in Elizabeth Moss's performance, the movie's actually kind of forgettable. I just saw it less than, 48 hours ago. I can't remember it. I just, it doesn't stick with me. I do think the ending is satisfying, right? That's the thing, is there is a catharsis that happens. Elizabeth Moss is great. The whole surprise and the reversal and all that sort of stuff, even though I kind of saw it coming, I thought it was great. It was so good. I was like clapped a little bit in the theater. I was the only one, but I was clapping. So it's not that I hated this movie. It's just they decided to throw in a lot of unnecessary sort of twist into it that just didn't really make a lot of sense. It took a pretty good, decent script that was supported by a very stellar performance from a very good actress, and it just began to break apart. I just don't understand why movies feel the need to do that. And if you're going to do it, you got to think through it, right? If you're going to put twists in your movie, you got to think through the implications. So once again, that's about all I'm going to get into, because otherwise I'd have to really start breaking it down scene by scene. I'd have to remember the movie to be able to do that, which you can't. So that's my spoiler instant reaction to it. I give it, thumbs down, thumbs up. I give it like a thumbs in the middle, right? I see a lot of 9 out of 10s, a lot of 8 out of 10s. I give it about a 7.5 out of 10. Yeah, I just can't recommend it. I want to, but I just can't. And I just think the internet's wrong. So hit me up on Twitter, at Pat and Jason. Let me know how I'm wrong, or email the show, bingemovies@gmail.com. Let me know where you came down this movie. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Do you have the same problems with it that I do? That's my instant reaction to 2020's Invisible Man.